Luke. Luke. Ben? You will listen to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Podcast? There you will hear your hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, as they discuss all things Star Wars. So join the conversation and hang out. Oh, and watch out for Wampas.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 183, Musical Finales, Part 2. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, we have the Imperial March to my March of the Resistance. We have Carl LeClaire.
Oh, that's amazing. I had no idea what you were going to use today, so I like that, that we're both musical themes.
Yes.
I prefer your theme to mine, but I'll take it. I am iconic, and you are just an upstart rebel.
Yes. I rebel.
Okay.
Okay, Jin.
Okay, Jin.
Call your horses.
All right, ease off the pod racing there.
Okay, fine.
Jason, I'm so excited that we get to finish up the finales of these incredible movies with the OT and the sequel, first movie of the sequel trilogy.
Yes.
I had so much fun doing the prequels, and I'll tell you right now, I've actually listened to the closing track of Attack of the Clones probably 30 times since we recorded last week. I don't know why. I just can't stop it. It's so good. And you and I, we were just talking that I think there is a little bit more of a depth to the closing tracks of the prequel trilogies than the original movies. Which I think we'll highlight a little bit today. And that is in no way putting down the original trilogy closing tracks, because they're all amazing as well. But I think John Williams might have been doing a little bit more storytelling, I think, in the prequel trilogy tracks, at least. A little bit more. So
a little bit. Well, of course, he builds off of what has come before, and the prequels came later.
Right.
At least in production.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, he has more to play around with. That's a good point. Because obviously, if he'd made those first, there would have been no Imperial March in anyway worked into any of those movies.
That is very true. That's very true.
But Jason, before we get into it, mm-hmm. we had a great poll from, to kind of smash in between our two musical episodes about asking folks what their favorite musical theme is in Star Wars, and we got a handful of responses yet again.
Oh yes, we did, and we got some responses that aren't technically themes, but I included them anyways. So in fifth place, with one vote each, we had the Jedi Steps, the Meadow Picnic from Attack of the Clones, the Asteroid Chase, Duel of the Fates, and my pick for this one, because it's the one I'm listening to most, because I couldn't pick a favorite, I'm just listening to that most right now, is March of the Resistance. So the Resistance theme from The Force Awakens. In fourth place, with two votes each, is Across the Stars, and Yoda's theme. And you picked Yoda's theme, correct?
I did. It was one of my ties. I cheated for once. I never cheat in the themes, but I had to cheat this time.
Yes. And the other one that you tied with that is actually in third place, and that's Rey's theme. So Rey's theme got three votes.
Which is a great, great track. And I think the reason I could not decide which I liked more, because they're very different songs. Yoda's theme is very peaceful, and it's the perfect song for Yoda. It's like this welcoming, calm song, but there is some sense of joy in it, actually, I think. And simplicity. I think it recaptures a little bit of that sense of innocence that we got from episode one.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you have something like Rey's theme, which is very kind of... I don't know. It's very kind of tragic sounding, but also very...
It's almost magical.
Yeah, it really is. And it really does kind of tell an adventure story in one little, 3-minute piece song. And I was hoping to make my decision at that concert. I went to that John Williams concert at the Pops on Friday night just this past week. And he played both these songs. Rey's theme was the second song that he conducted of the night. And then His first encore was Yoda's theme. So I was like, oh, great, I can hear them both live. I can compare them. But I left just as befuddled as I was before. Because
of course.
I think Rey's theme, in a way, if it had been around for 30 years, I think I'd prefer it. Because it does have a little bit more of an epic feel to it, I guess. And it really does swell in a beautiful way. Yoda's theme doesn't have that kind of like pitch. Like Yoda's theme doesn't necessarily build to any point, whereas Rey's theme does. And I prefer songs that build to something. So mm-hmm. I think I would slightly give the edge to Rey, but Yoda's theme has been my favorite for my entire Star Wars fandom, so it's got to be up there as well.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, we still have two more. In second place with 5 votes was the Imperial March, and then in first place with 10 votes, and anybody that gave me any iteration of this theme just went into the Force theme pile. So if you said Binary Sunset, if you said the Throne Room March, that's all the Force theme. So, yeah, Force theme, 1 out, pretty big. 10 votes each, double what second place got. So,
yeah, I'm not really surprised.
No.
Force theme is so iconic. I mean, it's definitely one of my favorite. It's probably one of the – it's the most iconic piece in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And I certainly love it, but it's just – it's just not my favorite.
Yeah, and like I said, I didn't want to try and pick a favorite, so I just picked the one I was listening to most. So right now, I wimped out on this one.
Well, this was a tough one, Jason. You challenged all of us.
I did.
But here we go. Here's the Force theme. And there you go, folks. There's the winner. It is debatably probably the most popular theme in Star Wars.
Yes, so. Indeed. But before we finish up our topic here, you got to go see John Williams conduct live at the Boston Pops this weekend.
It was awesome. There was only one little issue that we had, so... you know, I got these tickets last minute to a sold-out show, so my friend and I got plopped down in a group section with a bunch of middle schoolers, which was kind of obnoxious. So my friend, he literally told a couple kids to shut up, like, the second song in the John Williams set, because they were being middle schoolers. They weren't, like, bad kids. They were just, they didn't know how to be quiet at a concert. And they were quiet the rest of the night. And the only other thing is, I don't know if it was where we were sitting or just simply the people doing the sound engineering that night didn't know how to turn the volume up, but it wasn't as loud as I would have liked for a concert. Mm. I mean, I'm not expecting it to be a rock and roll concert, but, you know, it was at Symphony Hall, so it's definitely a different venue. But, you know, I just wish it had been a little louder, because especially John Williams talked a lot in between the songs. But he, you know, the way he talks, he kind of has, like, he's an older man. He doesn't project very well. And he has, like, kind of just that, like, lazy, cool voice. And so it just sounded like he was mumbling a lot. Like, I literally was, like, leaning forward in my seat every time he talked just to hear what he was saying clearly. Because he'd be like, you know, when I wrote this song, baby, you know, I just kind of did. It was just like, what? But a couple things that he brought up that I really enjoyed. He is obsessed with Daisy Ridley. When he introduced Rey's theme. He was talking about how when he first met Daisy Ridley, he immediately became infatuated with her. And he kept going, and he kept referring to it as Daisy's theme. It was so funny. And then he would correct himself and be like, excuse me, Rey's theme. But he kept calling it Daisy's theme. It's very clear that, you know, John Williams is very enamored with her. And he talked about, you know, how she's so funny. She's so kind. She's so sweet. You know, he was really impressed at her athleticism because, you know, seeing a lot of the film that he saw. And he said, you know, and then he brought up the story about, you know, how Kathleen Kennedy approached him before that movie to ask if he would do, you know, the sequel trilogy. And he obviously agreed to do episode 7. And he said, you know, I'm still at the point now where the producers are asking me if I'm going to do the next one. And he said, I'm not sure if I have it in me, but I don't want anybody else writing music for Daisy. it was so funny. Just the way he said it. And, you know, everybody in the audience started cracking up. And, you know, it's just... I think that he's really is in this kind of conflicted point where, you know, he's 84 years old. I don't know if he wants to keep conducting big film scores, but I really think, you know, if they want him to do it, they should just have Daisy Ridley call him to ask, because I think he'd say yes without a doubt to her.
That is
it
true.
It was so funny. And then when he was...
Hello, Mr. Williams.
Hello, Mr. Williams. Hello. But I will say this. He looked, for 84 years old, he moved just fine. He looked great for 84.
Good.
But then when he was introducing Princess Leia's theme, he was talking about how when he wrote that theme, he was under the impression that Leia and Luke were going to end up together. Because back in 1976, you know, George Lucas talks about, oh, yeah, I always knew they were going to be brother and sisters. We know that's not true. He didn't. You know,
yeah.
That was something he came up with basically after Empire Strikes Back. So John Williams kind of, he was talking about how he wrote this kind of romantic piece for her, but it was meant to imply Luke as well, which is mm-hmm. why there's hints of like Luke's theme in it. And he said, little did I know that they were going to be brother and sister. So it was just, I'd never heard that before. I had never known that he intended that to also be a romantic piece between Luke and Leia.
That's funny. But it is still kind of fitting that it has sort of hints to Luke's theme because they are related.
Right. Yeah. So he was able to, you know, work around that.
Exactly.
But it's just funny that was kind of its purpose. And the other thing he said that I thought was really neat was he continually mentioned, especially when he was introducing the Jedi Steps in finale, which was awesome to hear live, by the way.
Nice.
He was talking about how, again, like he kind of blended Rey's theme and Luke's theme. And he said, because he goes, I'm under the impression that she's his daughter. He said that like three or four times. Now, again, he doesn't know. I don't think he knows who Rey's parents are. But for at least John Williams, I think he wants her to be Luke's daughter. So I really hope Mr. Williams is right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then, that is awesome.
Yeah, it was great. So, I mean, he performed. I posted a picture of the set list, but it was he did the opening theme, Rey's theme, March of the Resistance, Princess Leia's theme, the asteroid field, Luke and Leia. And then he closed with Jedi Steps and finale. And he also put down a screen and did like a recap video stuff of from The Force Awakens to accompany Jedi Steps and finale. Then he came out for an encore and did Yoda's theme. Then he came out for a second encore and did the Imperial March. And then he closed the show, oddly, with a song from E.T. So it was fine. I'm not a big E.T. fan, so I could kind of care less, but it was still nice. And then my friend and I went out and waited by the back door, and we got to see him as he was leaving. We were probably about 4 or 5 feet from him.
Nice.
So there was enough people in front of us that we couldn't like shake his hand or like get an autograph or a picture. But it was still really awesome just to be that close to him.
Cool.
So,
was there any particular track that was just the most amazing
to
hear live?
Yeah. Surprisingly, because I obviously, as you know, I was most looking forward to hearing Rey's theme, and it was amazing. But actually the first song that really got me excited and really captured me was the March of the Resistance.
Yes.
Cause I love that piece, but hearing it live was awesome. Absolutely awesome. And then when he was doing Jedi Steps and finale, hearing Rey's theme, you know, mixed back in again, that's when I definitely had a couple tears well up in my eye. Cause it was just so beautiful. And you can tell by the way he conducts that piece, how much he loves not only the piece, but the person he conducted it for.
That's awesome.
So it was great. It was such a great experience, and I'm so glad I went. So
sweet.
He's actually going to he'll be in Massachusetts again, like in Western Massachusetts, conducting for another film series night. So he'll probably do a very similar set, but I don't think I'll go to that one. But yeah, it's incredible.
I want him to come back out west and do something like this.
Yeah, I will say I was shocked that, I mean, at the end of the night, he conducted 10 songs, which was a lot. He kept walking up and out and stuff. I mean, it was incredible. I really didn't expect that much.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it was. Awesome. He was great.
Well, let's go ahead and start talking about some of his music.
Let's do it.
Let's get back to the topic at hand.
Indeed.
All right. And of course, we left off going into episode 4, A New Hope. And of course, probably one of the most iconic.
Yes. One of the most iconic closing pieces ever. And I love to hear how many of our of the Larians mentioned that they used it at their wedding, because that's my hope.
Oh, I know. Exactly.
Oh. Oh, man.
The Such throne room.
Yes.
Enough said.
Yeah. So let's just move on to Empire. No. I think, you know, that's throne room is probably one of the most pump up epic songs of victory in all of Star Wars.
Yes. You know, it is. It really is. While I love Augie's Grand Municipal Band and how just fun it is, this is just so pump up and epic and victorious, and it's like, yes!
You know. It really is.
We did it!
Yeah, and well, I think, and yeah. I, you know, that's it's a great, you know, Augie's Great Municipal Band, it is. It's a fun song, and it's a victorious song, but it's also veiled in the Emperor's theme.
Exactly.
The throne room march is a march of victory in the tune of the Force theme and the Hero's theme. So this is meant to kind of encapsulate the feeling of ultimate victory. And if you think about it, when John Williams conducted this movie, just like George Lucas kind of expected, they kind of expected it to be the only one. So I think John Williams does. He is kind of giving like the perfect closure piece of music to this film to show the victory of the good guys and of the heroes. And it is, it's just, it really is like this great pump up piece that, just showcases the victory that we saw on the screen.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And I love it, but of course it goes then into the credits, which is a jazz up version of the main theme, which is kind of Luke's theme,
right,
in a way. And then we get Princess Leia's theme before it sort of does a whole credit wrap up. And so, you know, we do get, you know, Luke and Leia in there, as a wraps up, which is interesting because, you know, this is the first movie that he composed, for Star Wars. And it's interesting that he decided to even like continue this. He could have just written all original stuff for the credits. Instead, he goes back and he decides to include some of these themes. And we hadn't really heard Princess Leia's theme all that heavily in the soundtrack. And apparently he really enjoyed it and he wanted to include it here somewhere, I guess, is my guess.
Right. Yeah. And because you hear hints of Leia's theme throughout the movie, but it's never really showcased.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. You know, he's going back and revisiting it probably because one, he loved the piece. But I think too is she's one of the heroes.
Mm-hmm.
So in kind of these closing credits, again, like you said, you know, he starts with this main theme, a little bit of a different version than we heard at the opening of the film. But it's a nice way of rounding out the film. It's also, again, in a loose way, it's Luke's theme. It's the theme of the hero. And this theme is also one of adventure. So it kind of reminds us that the story we just went through, this adventure together, and it was all connected to this hero who is Luke. But then it swells into Leia's theme, which is kind of sweet and romantic. And I like it because it's showing that this isn't just Luke's movie in a way, you know, right? Like Leia had a lot to do with this victory as well. And she suffered a great deal, just like Luke did. You know, if not more, she lost her entire planet and was tortured brutally by her own father, who she didn't know as her father. He kind of rounds it out by closing it with Luke's theme. And I think that's kind of the closing statement of A New Hope is this is the story of the victory of our new hero.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's not much else, you know, not much deep to that. It just is.
Right. Yeah. So here's the kind of closes with this main theme. I don't know why. That just kind of makes me think of the Superman theme a little bit, too.
A little bit.
You know? But
a little bit.
Just, and again, it would make sense that it would, that when he's writing themes for heroes, they have a little bit of a similar feel. And I think that's how it is. It ends with this very triumphant blast, right? It's a song about victory. It's a song about heroes, which, again, it contrasts that with, you know, the prequel movies, specifically episodes 1 and 2. It ends with a statement of the Imperial March.
Yeah.
So those stories are bound for disaster. This story is bound for victory.
Exactly. Exactly. But we do get a little bit of disaster in the original trilogy. That all happens with The Empire Strikes Back.
Indeed. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And of course, we've got the Rebel fleet mm-hmm. to sort of kick this off. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I picked out three themes in this before we actually hit the credits. And we've got the Force theme, obviously. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, there's a little bit of Yoda's theme.
Yep.
And then Han and Leia's theme.
Yep. Absolutely. Yes. Which is almost all the same themes that are reprised in the closing credits.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've always loved this piece. It's just such a, you know, to me it's like it's this sorrowful piece about kind of everything bad that's just happened. Yet there is this feeling of optimism to it, because so much of it is based on Luke's theme. A lot of it arises out of Luke's theme, and to me it gives like a sense of hope. A sense of hope in the future, and kind of I've always felt like this song it ends with this conviction to keep fighting, that mm-hmm. even though they've, you know, they're a little bit broken, they've been a little bit beat up, they're not defeated. The story's not over. So to me, that's what John Williams is really capturing, that feeling for us for Empire Strikes Back, because, you know, for still a lot of folks, they say it's the darkest of the Star Wars films, which I would still debate is probably Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
But, you know, it's certainly the darkest of the original, but it's not dark in a modern film sense. You know,
no.
There is the sense that things went bad, but the difference, and this is what I love about Star Wars, no matter how dark any of the movies might become and what needs to happen. I'm talking to you, Rian Johnson. Don't screw up episode 8. you know, it's okay for a Star Wars movie to be dark and bad things to happen, but what's always pinnacle to Star Wars is that there's this sense of optimism that, yes, part of life is things go bad, but at the same time, you never give up because things will get better. And I think that closing piece for Empire really kind of encapsulates that feeling of, yes, we've lost, but we're not done. You know, the Empire kind of beat us down, but we haven't been destroyed. We haven't been defeated. We're living to fight another day, you know, and then John Williams captures that with the piece. Plus, I got to give a shout out to Billy Dee here for the way he just says, you know, Princess will find Han, I promise, you know, like just that line. It's just, you believe him, you know, you believe when he says that.
Yeah.
And the music helps you.
Of course, it's a little weird that he's wearing Han's clothes, but we won't get into that. Yeah,
I love that he's wearing Han's clothes. It's just interesting because you would think Han and him aren't the same size, but, well, I guess they are.
Close enough. Anyways.
Close enough. But, yeah. Yeah, I love that closing bit of just the Rebel fleet.
Mm-hmm. But then, of course, it ramps up into our credit sequence, and we get Yoda's theme.
Yes.
After that. Which, of course, is very fitting because of you know, how integral to the story Yoda was. And it's a beautiful little theme. You know, obviously, it's one of your favorites.
Yes.
But and I like how it's sort of an upbeat version of Yoda's theme. A very upbeat version. A little bit more upbeat than what we get in the concert suite, if I remember correctly. But
it's almost got a little bit of a march to it.
Yeah. He sort of sped it up a little bit, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
And then, of course, we go from this wonderful little Yoda's theme into the Imperial March.
Right.
Which is the most prevalent theme in any single Star Wars movie, period, in Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
The only one that comes close is, as we said, Across the Stars and Attack of the Clones.
Right. And we're getting that in Source of Information, quote, David W. Collins, Star Wars Oxygen, Rebel Force Radio.
Star Wars Oxygen. So that is not our
research
discovery.
Yes. Yeah, so obviously you got to close Empire and then have a statement of the Imperial March, because it's the defining track of that movie. And, you know, I've never loved the Imperial March as a standalone track. And I'm not saying I don't like it. I've just, it's whenever it like comes on, if I'm like shuffling through Star Wars music, I tend to skip it just because it's not one of my favorites. Obviously they, you know, John Williams played that in his encore the other night, and it's always awesome to hear live. It was awesome to hear him conducting it. The interesting thing though, is if I were to say my favorite statements of the Imperial March, they all appear in the prequels. I love the way John Williams uses the Imperial March in the prequels because it has a little bit more of an ominous feeling. It's this feeling of the dread to come, but in all of its glory, which is The Empire Strikes Back, I just don't enjoy it as much. I don't know. I think it's the perfect piece for Darth Vader and the Empire, and it's a great theme to use in the new Galactic Order. But it's not one of my favorite pieces, but I do love the way, you know, again, like you said, you know, it's almost cool that we do get the prequels production-wise, secondly, because John Williams is able to revisit that theme so much, and it works so well.
I mean, one of my favorite versions of the Imperial March is in Attack of the Clones, as the clones are all loading up at the end of the movie on Coruscant. It's sort of, you know, got the idea of a, you know, victorious, you know, military march. But it's also very ominous at the same time, and it's very interesting. But I do have to say that probably my favorite version of the Imperial March in Empire Strikes Back is when Vader and Luke are dueling down in Cloud City, and he puts his lightsaber down and starts using the Force to throw things at Luke.
Yeah, yeah. I think for me, my favorite use of the Imperial March is actually in Return of the Jedi when Vader dies.
It's so beautiful.
The beautiful little sad piece. And then I, of course, love the way it's used after Anakin talks about slaughtering the Tusken Raiders. I think it's great there, too. But yeah, no, so obviously, yeah, that's going to be part of John Williams' closing theme for Empire Strikes Back. But I real quick, because I didn't really say anything on this, but I like that it starts with Yoda's theme. One, because I love Yoda's theme, and it is neat because he does give it a little bit more of a lively, upbeat voice. And I think that's great, too, because, again, this is a movie where all of our heroes are lost. Han's missing. You know, Luke's going to have to struggle with this horrible truth that his father is a monster. And, you know, as the closing track, you know, and these themes start in the end titles, the first one we get is this Yoda's theme, which to me, in a way, the Yoda's theme is a kind of a Force theme personified. And what I mean by that is you know, I love that quote Yoda has in the Clone Wars TV series. I think it's in episode or season 5, but with the gathering, you know, is that the name of the episode? And he says, yes. You know, a Jedi is the Force made visible, or something like that. I can't remember the exact quote. But to me, Yoda, in specifically the original trilogy, he is way more so than Obi-Wan was in episode 4. He is really the voice of the Force to Luke. He is the ultimate teacher. And I think to start these closing tracks with Yoda's theme is a reminder that the Force is still at work in this galaxy, and that Yoda is kind of this minuscule voice of the light in this immense darkness. And I think it's cool because what John Williams does in the closing tracks for Empire is he starts with kind of that beautiful uplifting theme of Yoda's theme. In the middle of all that is this statement of darkness, which is the Imperial March, which clearly has, you know, been the heavy hand this entire movie. But now he's going to close it with the last theme, which is Han and Leia's theme.
Yeah.
And
obviously something that we'd seen be building throughout the movie, but it also gives us hope that, yeah, maybe they will have a happily ever after in the next movie, you know?
Right. Exactly. And I think you're exactly right. It does end with John Williams kind of saying that this love theme, this love that started in this movie, it's not over, and that this love will overcome the darkness of the Imperial March.
Yeah.
Their story is it's not done yet. So I like that he closes with, you know, that romantic piece of Han and Leia's theme.
Yeah.
So, and then, where is it? The very end here, you'll hear the Imperial March, which, again, from David Collins. Right here. Boom. 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 Those timpani drums.
Ah.
But again,
I love the timpani.
Yeah, they're great. Again, if you've listened to Star Wars Oxygen on Rebel Force Radio, you notice David Collins points that out at the very end of the closing title, though. You get just those few bass notes of the Imperial March. Because again, at the end of the day, this was the Imperial story.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that's just so cool that John Williams does. He uses those three themes. He starts with like the beautiful piece of Yoda's theme. The heart of the matter, though, is the Empire still at large. Then he closes it with that beautiful romance theme that Han and Leia's story is still going to continue. But at the end, still at the very end, though, this is still called The Empire Strikes Back. Here's one more statement of the Imperial March.
Yep. Yep. Just one more, yeah. Lest you forget.
Not quite done yet.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
That's funny.
But, yeah, you know, I think it's time to move into Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
Which has another yet amazingly fun closing track to begin with.
I know there's some of our fans, our listeners, that are cringing going, oh, why is it not Yub Nub?
This is so much better than Yub Nub. I like Yub Nub. It's fun. But this is better by far.
It's so much more fitting for a galaxy finally.
Yes. Is that a piccolo?
I don't know.
I don't know my instruments well enough.
It could be.
Hey! It's the Augie kids. I could listen to that piece all day. It's so fun. And you know, Jason, it really is to me. It's a yet another, you know, fun kind of victory song. Kind of just like the throne room. It's a song of victory. But to me, the huge difference between the victory celebration, the track on Return of the Jedi, and the throne room is the throne room is it's loud and it's bombastic, and it's just a kind of a black and white hero's victory march. Mm-hmm. Return of the Jedi, to me, it's a song of victory, but there's something about, again, I can't speak to the technicality of the music, mm-hmm. but the chords, the way it sounds, it's a song of victory, but with the indication that it costs something. It's a more realistic victory.
It's a song of relief.
Yes.
It's over.
Yeah.
You know, well, for the most part. You know, obviously we know
thought so.
there's still conflict, they're still wrapping up, but the hard part is over. You know, we've destroyed the second Death Star, we've killed the Emperor, Darth Vader is dead. You know, it's a matter of time at this point.
Yeah.
And it's a sigh of relief, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah,
and in addition to a celebration,
right? So. And I think bringing in that kind of the kids' choir, in a way, it kind of does attach it to the Phantom Menace closing track. But again, the huge difference is that one is it's just a fun song of victory. But this is again, it's more of this. It's less bombastic, and it's showing the scars of this victory. And again, I don't find it. It's not like some dark, like tragic piece in any way. But to me, it has a more serious tone than something like Throne Room or Augie's Great Municipal Band. And I think that's mm-hmm. important. And again, I think that's why it's better than Yub Nub. Yub Nub is just this pure, like childish, joyous fun of an innocence. But that was all kind of destroyed in light of the prequels. So I like that it's still that theme of victory, but it's in light of something that it cost. Again, this came at a cost. And I think that it does that so well. And that's what makes it better to me. It's a more all-encompassing theme than Yub Nub is. I think it's far more fitting.
Yub Nub is you know, definitely something that would fit if we were just staying on Endor. But when you start including the other planets and the galaxy at large and all that stuff, you need something a bit more.
Right.
Which is where I think that this came from. And I'm not poo-pooing Yub Nub, but this piece of music is so much better, in my opinion, for the end of Return of the Jedi. But
yeah,
I could be biased because I, you know, saw it in the special editions where this was introduced first. So, and I love it. So, but of course we go into the credits and it's wonderful. And then we get Ewoks.
Just a little piece of Yub Nub, just so you know we like it. Get the idea.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's so fun. I love Yub Nub, but I just
kind of goofy though.
It is, and you know, really that new piece really does a way better job of finishing this saga and even finishing this movie. Yub Nub is so fun. I love it. I enjoy listening to it. But that victory celebration that John Williams wrote for the 97 special edition just takes the cake for me.
It does. It does. But then we get the parade of the Ewoks once we do our credit, you know.
Yes, once we start our post-credit theme tracker, if you will.
Yes. And I love the parade of the Ewoks.
I love parade of the Ewoks. It's one of my favorites, one of my favorite tracks.
This is a piece of music that I listen to when I go hiking.
Ah, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, you... if I ever do, I really want to get to the Redwoods someday, and I just want to blast this song while I'm hiking around.
Yes. Yes.
It's fun, you know, and I think Parade of the Ewoks, it's the perfect song for the Ewoks, and it really does. It captures that sense of their primitive nature,
mm-hmm.
But also their innocent nature, if you will.
Yeah, it's sort of an innocent, whimsical... but as you said, almost primitive in the way it sounds compared to other themes that we get in Star Wars. So it's a really neat little piece though, and it's just so much fun to listen to. I don't have too much to say on it, but
yeah. Well, I think you know, again, kind of everything you said. It's fun. I love whimsical. That's the perfect word for it.
Yes.
And I think it's great that John Williams starts, you know, the closing tracks with this. Because, again, he's hitting on that theme that George Lucas wanted to make clear with the Ewok story in and of itself, is that this primitive culture overcame this technologically advanced culture. And I think that's George Lucas's way of saying, you know, that technology and power isn't always everything. And I think John Williams is using this Ewok theme to make that statement right off the bat in the closing tracks.
Yeah, very true. And but then of course we get Luke and Leia's theme.
Yes, which is absolutely beautiful.
It is.
Loved hearing this live. It's one of my favorite pieces in Star Wars. And it is. It's such a beautiful song. And I think, again, we only hear it like twice in the actual movie. The first time we only get a hint of it, too, when, you know, Luke and Leia are having that big discussion about their family lineage.
Right.
On Endor before Luke departs to confront their father. And, you know, I think we hear it briefly... I think when Leia's talking to Han about the truth as well at the end of the movie, I think we get a hint of it as well.
But, oh, yeah. After the Death Star's blown up?
Yeah, after the Death Star's blown up. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I think we get a hint of it there. I'd have to go back and re-listen. But you know, I think this is, again, John Williams wants to play this. This is a beautiful, particularly orchestral piece he wrote that he wants to be heard. But I think, again, it's a fitting part of our story. It's the theme of a family, of siblings, and how, you know, these two children are essentially, their story is to undo the sins of the father. You know, which is, for Luke, that means redeeming the father. For Leia, it means trying to undo the corruption he's wrought in the galaxy.
Right.
And to me, it's a love theme, but I'm going to use some Greek here. It's philia love. You know how in the Greek there's three types of love. There's agape, eros, and I think it's philia is how you pronounce it. Eros is like erotic love, kind of a little bit more of a selfish love. Agape is huge in the New Testament. It's selfless love. It's love that gives itself away. And then there's philia love, which is the love between, you know, siblings, family members, or best friends. And I think that's really cool that in Star Wars, we get a love theme that's not just a romantic love theme. It's a love theme between siblings. And I think that's really cool. I think it's really cool that we're getting a piece of music to define a familial relationship.
Mm-hmm. And it's great because it's a family that they didn't know they had.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of a discovery of family. And I really hope we get to hear this piece of music in episode 8 when Luke and Leia reunite again.
Me too. And remember how beautiful the piece was of Han and Leia's theme for episode 7? It's very subtle and it's slowed down. There's a little bit more of a serious tone to it. I hope Luke and Leia, that we get their theme too, like revisited in a different way a little bit though.
Yes.
And I think it would be because they're a very different place at this point.
Right. And it's fitting that they have this theme in the credits here, not only because it's, you know, a discovery of family and, you know, we actually get to sort of sit back and enjoy the fact that these two characters are related and, you know, found each other in that sense. But it's also fitting because their fight, I won't say is over, but they won.
Right.
You know, as our heroes, their drive throughout this entire trilogy has brought about victory.
Yeah.
So it's great that we have it here. It makes great sense from a story perspective, and it's just great listening. So,
yeah, I'm not going to complain about having that there. Yeah. And see if I can find it. Yep. So their theme is going to then build into the main theme.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Yep. Which is, sounds like this is being played in a higher key than normally.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you know, and he's kind of melding the Luke and Leia theme into the main theme. And again, because both of their themes and this particular theme, again, if you listen to Star Wars Oxygen on Rebel Force Radio, David Collins does a great job of breaking down Luke and Leia's theme to show how it's essentially built on the foundation of the main theme. So
yes.
Again, their theme is bleeds into the hero's theme. So the closing statement for Return of the Jedi is the theme of our heroes, which are Luke and Leia.
Exactly. And it wraps up and closes out. And it's wonderful.
Yeah. And I think here's this closing. From the throne room. You ready for some timpanis? Oh man, I love it. And I think, you know, in a way that kind of in the prequel tracks, specifically episodes 1 and 2, the Imperial March is kind of the anchor of the end of those songs to point to where we're going. I think Return of the Jedi ends with a very firm statement from the closing track of A New Hope, kind of pointing back to the victory that was won back then is finally complete. I think Return of the Jedi is saying that this empire is finally fully defeated.
Yes, indeed. And it's,
And of course, while we know it's not fully defeated, it's not, you know, there's still conflict that will happen. And of course, 30 years later, we get Force Awakens.
Right.
But the hard part's over. As I said before, the hard part is over. The Death Star is destroyed. The Emperor is defeated. And it can't really survive under its own weight without its figurehead. Or its enforcer, Darth Vader.
Right.
So it's a wonderful piece, as all of these are, and I enjoy it very much.
Yeah, it's great, and again, it's a closing piece that in a way closes the book, but mm-hmm. now Disney reopened it for us.
yes,
and
I am okay with that,
and I am okay with that too, and they sensibly make it far enough into the future that it would make sense that things have started to come undone.
Mm-hmm.
But let's hop into this closing. All of these closing tracks for Star Wars is so good, but right up there already as one of almost my favorites, I would have to say, is this piece known as The Jedi Steps. I'm sorry, I just had to play the whole darn thing.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm not sorry. It's, you know, not that any of the other ones didn't deserve to be played all the way through, but it's the newest piece, and it's so beautiful.
It is.
That's the best word to describe Jedi Steps is that it's simply a beautiful piece of music. And, you know, it starts so soft and so simple. And you know, it's very clear. It sounds nothing like anything else we heard on the Force Awakens soundtrack. And it also sounds nothing like we've ever heard on any of the Star Wars soundtracks, for that matter.
Right.
It's one of the most original pieces of music we hear in the movie.
It's so mystical.
Yes. Which makes perfect sense as Rey is now at this original Jedi temple. She's in a very mystical space.
It is. It is a very mystical space. And I know I've heard some people talking about how there's the idea of perhaps an Imperial March when you pan over and you see Luke for the first time.
Yeah.
I never took it that way.
Yeah.
I never took it that way. It's almost to me a statement of.
Yeah, let me see if I can find that. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's almost a statement of oh my gosh, he's here.
Yeah,
you know, it's sort of a statement of discovery. Like she's you know said earlier, I thought Luke Skywalker was a myth, and it's almost like a step of awe and discovery, and like oh my gosh, the hero is real. You know, mm-hmm. the legend is real.
Yeah, yeah. Here, I think this is it right here. Kind of comes like minor chords. Yeah, and it is. It's
like the discovery that Gandalf the White is around after Gandalf the Grey died. You know.
Yeah.
You know. It's almost that kind of thing. He's this being of great power, and it's like, oh gosh, he's real.
Yeah, and to me, my read of it actually is more from Luke's perspective. Is when we finally see Luke, and he turns around. You know, you just even see in his robe, we see kind of this broken man. We see a broken hero, and to me, the minor chords imply the tragedy Luke has endured. You know, specifically when he turns around, you see his eyes and the way he's reacting to Rey. This is somebody who clearly he's left the world behind because he thinks he's failed. So to me, it's like there's just this tremendous weight on Luke's shoulders that we hear in that music and we see in just the look of his eyes.
There's such a history there.
Yeah.
And we don't know it yet.
Right. There's just such a, to me, it's a profound sense of sadness for who Luke has become. And it makes me want to know what happened. This was our promising hero at the end of Return of the Jedi. How did he get to this place of such sadness?
Right.
So it's to me, it's just an intriguing piece of music. And right before we get to those end credits, you know, we get the Force theme as Rey extends Luke's old lightsaber, his father's lightsaber to him. And, you know, to me, using the Force theme there is one to remind us, to tap us back into the story we've been playing around in for a long time. But more than that, my read of it is the will of the Force has brought them together. In the same way that Qui-Gon believes the will of the Force is what led him to Anakin on Tatooine, I think it's the will of the Force, you know, that was literally speaking to Rey in her dreams. You know, we get that from when Kylo's mind probing her. He sees this dream she's been having of these islands. Rey has finally been brought to where the Force wants her. And to me, it's because it's time for her to step up and become our new hero. But more than anything, it's to bring Luke back to the world.
Yes. Yeah, indeed. It fits so perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the title, The Force Awakens, you know. but then, of course, we go into our credits and we get Rey's theme.
Yes. And, you know, Jason, it depends where you're listening to this. If you're listening to the soundtrack version, we get a quicker version of Rey's theme and it's shorter. If you listen to it in the movie, it's actually the full Rey's theme. So I was curious when John Williams conducted this on Friday night. I was wondering when he, you know, Jedi Steps and Failing. I was like, all right, are we going to get the finale from the soundtrack or from the movie? And we got the movie one. So it's the full Rey's theme. And again, here, let me pull this up real quick. I'll play Rey's theme here. It's quicker. It kind of like Yoda's theme in Empire. Mm-hmm. It moves a little quicker. It's a little bouncier, you know, almost.
It picks up from when she was on the trip with Chewie.
Yes, exactly. Gotta get chills every time.
Oh, it's so great. And I love that statement of her theme. I honestly, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I love this the faster paced, bouncier, fuller, more epic version of her theme. And it's wonderful. I love it.
Yeah. There is a sense of urgency to it, if you will.
Yes, that is a good word for it. There's urgency. She's got to keep moving. Got to keep moving.
Yes. So that's awesome. You know, again, we're going to start with our new hero's theme to close out this movie. And it recaptures that sense of adventure that Luke's theme had.
Yes.
And then we go into our new villain theme, which is Kylo Ren's theme.
Kylo Ren. I think it's key that we have this here because for the last 5 minutes or so of the movie, it's all wrap up with the heroes.
Yeah.
You know, we see Snoke tell Hux to collect Kylo Ren before the planet blows up. And then that's it. We don't see the villains after that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the planet starts falling apart and finally blows up and everything. And then we just get a whole bunch of wrap up with our heroes and Rey goes on her journey to find Luke. And then it ends and we have to come back here and he puts Kylo Ren's theme. Of course, you play Rey's theme first because she's the main character. She's mm-hmm. the new hero. And then you put Kylo Ren's theme in there to remind you, hey, this guy's still out there. He's still bad news. Mm-hmm. Don't forget him.
Yeah.
You know.
Like Vader tumbling away in a TIE fighter. You know what I'm saying.
Yes. Yes, I do.
But that you're absolutely right, Jason. It's a reminder that there's still a threat. There's exactly. still a very great threat. He's become a very great threat. Anyway, I love Obi-Wan. Awesome. But yeah, no, absolutely. It's important to get that in there. And again, it's our new villain theme. Mm-hmm. And as John Williams has said, you know, in interviews, it's an incomplete theme. You know, he wanted to convey in a few notes, which it's really all it is. It's just, I think it's five notes. It conveys very clearly. It's a very clear statement of this is a villain and it's our new villain's theme, but it's an incomplete theme. And again, that matches his character. Kylo Ren is on a villain's journey, if you will, in Force Awakens. So his theme isn't quite fulfilled, you know, so I will be very interested to see if either one, does John Williams expand that theme in episode 8 or whoever else composes it, please God, let it be John Williams.
Yes.
But, you know, do they expand the existing theme or do they give him a whole new theme? Because think about, you know, in A New Hope, there is a very clear statement when Vader's on screen. I wouldn't quite call it a Darth Vader theme, but then it's something obviously completely different for episodes 5 and 6. So right. I'm wondering if for Kylo, is it going to be an extension of that theme or is it going to be a whole new theme? So
I hope it's an extended and fleshed out and finished theme of the one we've got so far, because I love what we have so far. And I, you know, I've said numerous times, I want a concert version of this. So,
I'm with you. I'd love a fleshed out what we got in episode 7 theme.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then it's interesting because the next piece of music we get is the Falcon
mm-hmm.
theme.
Yeah. We go right into this Millennium Falcon theme. And again, a kind of a sense of urgency.
Yes.
Jason, why do you think this is in there?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's the one that feels the most out of place to me.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously John Williams put it in there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't ever do anything without a reason.
Right.
I would have thought Han and Leia's theme would have fit better. And it would have transitioned better, in my opinion, from Kylo Ren to Han and Leia's and then to March of the Resistance, which is what we're going to get next. But he puts the Falcon in here.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Interesting point, Jason, because I have my why I think he has it in there, but I agree. I think it would have worked way better with Han and Leia's theme. For one, I like the piece of music more, but also two, it would have fit better to follow up with Kylo Ren's theme with his parents' theme and then leading into, you know, the legacy now of the parents is the March of the Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, I think John Williams, the last time we hear Han and Leia's theme in this movie is when Leia is embracing Rey, you know, mm-hmm. after she returns. And I think it's because it's clearly their embrace is a shared compassion over the loss of, for Leia, her husband, and for Rey, a father figure.
Yes.
So I think that's the reason we hear it there, is it's not a romantic theme between them, obviously, in any way. It's the fact that that's what's on their hearts. That's what's bringing them together.
Right.
But to me, the reason that he puts the Falcon theme in there is maybe one, because it's a new piece of music and Han and Leia's theme wouldn't be.
Right.
And it's the first time that the Falcon is, or any ship for that matter, has a theme. My understanding of, or the reason I think he might have it in there is, to me, it's the bridging of the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy, in the sense that the Falcon was kind of the home of our you know, our heroes in the original movies, right? It was the only sense mm-hmm. of home. Again, Han announces that, you know, Chewie, we're home. So I think the Falcon kind of represents a way of bridging these two stories. So just like the Falcon was representative of our hero's home in that original, in those original films, it's going to become the home of our new heroes. And it's probably pretty clear that the Falcon's going to be there with Rey, and seems like Chewie's still going to be with her too at the start of episode 8. So yeah, maybe in that way, it's kind of just bridging those two stories. That's my guess. Could be completely wrong.
That's a good guess. It's better than mine, so.
Oh, man. But Jason, then we get to go into something you obviously really like.
Yes.
And I don't know what about this piece that it is, but I've been listening to this over and over and over again the last couple of weeks. It's wonderful.
I'll tell you, Jason.
And as if it wasn't fast enough already, he speeds it up in the credits, too.
Yeah.
not too much. Not as much as he sped up Yoda's theme or Rey's theme, but just slightly.
Yeah. So I think, you know, after hearing that live last week, I've actually listened to it quite a bit while I've been like working out, just because it's a good workout song. And it does. And what was really cool watching it live, I think the reason I love watching musicians who get really into what they're doing. And uh-huh. There was this one violin player. He was, you know, kind of right at the front. The dude was like leaning over into his violin. He was just getting so into it, specifically when they did March of the Resistance. And he did the same thing again when it was, you know, reprised during Jedi Steps and Finale. And he was just rocking out to March of the Resistance. So it really I loved watching that guy's, you know, passion to play that piece.
That's awesome.
But yeah, and it's such a, first off, I love when we first hear it in the movie when, you know, Han says, "It's the Resistance."
It's the Resistance.
Yeah.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
I mean, the first hint we get of the Resistance theme actually is in Maz Kanata's castle when that droid alerts the Resistance. You mm-hmm. hear a little whisper of it, which was cool. Again, you didn't know it was the Resistance theme until you hear it in its full-blown glory.
Right, and then we get the X-Wing skimming across the lake.
Yeah. So good. But yeah, and I think, you know, this is the last major theme that John Williams uses here in the closing credits, because, you know, and I think exactly as you said, Jason, throwing Kylo Ren's theme in there is a reminder that there's still this great threat out there, but there's this resilient force out there to combat it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, closing with that reminds us that there is this resistance that's still going to be holding on.
Exactly. Exactly. They are going to be the forces of good moving forward. And the only, you know, kind of the only opposition that the First Order will face at this point. So, mm-hmm. they've got to really hold on tight to that resilience.
Yes. Let's get this closing part, which is obviously this beautiful, here we go.
Blending of the Force theme and Rey's theme. It's right. So wonderful.
Yes. couldn't be any more beautiful.
It's great. It's so great. I love how it starts off as sort of a call and response with the Force theme and Ray's theme. You know, one, then the other, then Ray's theme sort of takes over for a bit. And then at the very end, the Force theme goes, but don't forget me, you know.
The Force has awoken.
It has. It really has. And it's so great. And I love it when we get these moments where themes start blending, and which is why going back and rediscovering the Across the Stars Anakin's theme, Imperial March, that happened in Attack of the Clones was so wonderful to me, because I love to see the blendings that happen of these themes, because while the themes are all wonderful on their own and they're amazing on their own, it's so cool sometimes when you get them blended together, and it makes me so happy.
I mean, who doesn't love a good mashup?
Exactly.
But this, and I think this does it in such a very new and unique way. And you hit that so excellently, Jason, by saying it's a call and response almost.
Mm-hmm.
And again, so much of the language of the trailers was all about like how the Force was calling to Rey. Now, granted, we never got a lot of those direct lines in the film itself, but it's very clear that the Force is calling to Rey, and she is finally responding at the end of this film. But the Force theme is also, to me, representative of Luke here at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. So again, my hope is that the blending of these themes, and based on what John Williams himself said at this concert last week, to me, maybe there's some understanding that there's a linkage between these two in a familial way, right? Like perhaps indeed Rey is Luke's daughter. But then again, John Williams wrote Leia's piece thinking that she was going to end up with Luke. So
yes,
it's clear that John Williams doesn't know, but.
Right.
So hopefully it's there because there's this family connection. But I think more than that, it's a linking of the old hero and the new hero, and their fates are now going to be intertwined. And the Force is reaching out to both of them, bringing them together for the good of the galaxy, to undo that the new rising evil whose shadow is spreading across the galaxy, to quote Maz Kanata.
Excellent. It's so wonderful. I love it.
I love it too, Jason.
And I can't wait till we get more so we can revisit this topic.
You and me both. Oh, man, that was fun.
It was.
I had a lot more to say than I thought, which I like when that happens.
There you go.
Hopefully those of you listening do as well.
Oh, man.
But, Jason, we're not done yet.
No.
We're not done yet.
Done yet.
You're a monster. It's just us now. Han Solo can't save you. Anyway, you had a great matchup for us for our next episode, if I do recall correctly.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it great. Well, yes, I would. No, I'm kidding. The matchup here is going to be interesting because I want to pit Anakin Skywalker versus Darth Vader. And yes, I know technically it's both the same character, but folks, go with me on this, all right? Anakin versus Darth Vader, and I'm curious to see what people think on this. I think this will be great. I'm going to have fun with this, and I still don't know what I'm going to pick though.
Now,
so.
And just to clarify questions people might have, Jason, where are we talking Anakin? Like Anakin at the start of Episode 3?
Anakin, you know, sort of towards the end of the Clone Wars, beginning of Episode 3, before Palpatine really starts turning him. So,
okay.
We'll say that.
Okay.
Not Anakin in the Phantom Menace.
Right. Well,
because that would be
a no brainer.
innocence prevails.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. All right. Anyways, but folks, if you want to weigh in on this matchup, where can they do that, Carl?
Obviously over on Facebook, facebook.com/WampasLairPodcast. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/WampasLair. Shoot us an email at WampasLairPodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to subscribe to us in iTunes.
Indeed. Anything else before we wrap up this episode?
No.
All right, well, this has been episode number 183 of the Wampa's Lair podcast, Musical Finales, Part 2. For Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair.